This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rolls Oconee Historical Society. Earlier, I read about the beginnings of Dr. Lawrence Parker in Rolls Oconee. He had come from England as a young man to regain his health, completed medical school in Iowa, and went on the road selling Kickapoo Indian remedy. He ended up in Rolls Oconee and decided to start his own pharmacy and medical practice, but was taken to court, charged with obtaining money under false pretenses. The story comes from remembrances in a story written by Earl Chapin. The judge found no witness to support the prosecution's complaint. On the other hand, it was shown that indigent patients coming to Parker received consultation and medicines without charge if they brought a note from their minister. When the case was dismissed, the boisterous onlookers raised three cheers for the doctor. As Hamlet said of poor Yorick, Parker was a man of infinite jest. Thinking perhaps to ingratiate himself with the constabulary, Parker poured a friendly drink for Rolls Oconee Sheriff J.W. Durham from a bottle on his shelf labeled Spiritus Frumenti. "By gosh," said Durham, "that's good." Next day he came back in the doctor's absence and helped himself. The incident was reported by the druggist. Parker filled the bottle with cider vinegar. The sheriff came in, poured himself a stout libation, and downed it. "By gosh," he spluttered, "what was in that bottle?" "My God, man, you didn't drink that," Parker exclaimed. "Yes, by gosh." "Gee, J.W., you're poisoned." Doc mixed up a strong bicarbonate of soda and poured it into the sheriff. The result was spectacular. When the bicarb hit the vinegar, it turned the sheriff into a human soda fountain. Foam poured out of his mouth, and two line streams jetted out of his nostrils. You could have brushed off his eyeballs with a tennis racket. Foam from the sheriff cascaded onto the drugstore floor. "Now, J.W.," said the doctor, "you start walking, and don't stop, or you're liable to drop dead." The sheriff, still erupting, obeyed the edict, certain that his life depended upon it. People he passed stood petrified and incredulous until some nervous citizen yelled, "Hydrophobia!" The bystanders disappeared in frightened rout. East of Roseau lay an area of forest and swamp and the wide stretch of the Lake of the Woods. One winter day, an Indian came to town seeking help for a man who had frozen his legs while lost on the lake. Gangrene had set in. Parker set out with a team of horses and an open cutter along the winter road. For 16 miles, only the moonlight and silence accompanied him through the snowfields and gaunt trees. Then shadows joined the moon, and the shadows were wolves. They gathered in pursuit as the rig reached the Devil's Potato Patch, a stretch of windfall with roots pointing skyward, through which the trail wound tortuously. The horses became nearly unmanageable, racing with breakneck speed among the stumps and holes of fallen trees. The reflections that passed through the doctor's mind during that ride must have included a picture of that snug little practice in England he had renounced. But his plans for the future were then limited to cutting the horses loose from an overturned sleigh and climbing a tree. But the patch was threaded without mishap and the wolves dropped behind. The patient lay in Jake Lachlan's trading post on a billet of poles covered with straw and a moose hide. The only light in the room was enclosed in a broken and sooty lamp chimney. The necessary amputation was performed on the kitchen table, with the settlement's only white woman administering the anesthetic. "I knew then," Parker told me, "that this was my destiny." Warroad, Minnesota was to become the scene of Dr. Parker's subsequent practice, and the Lake of the Woods the setting for some of his most harrowing experiences. When the Canadian National Railway was built through the little settlement at the mouth of the Warroad River, Parker moved there in anticipation of the town that was to develop. Parker set up his medical practice at Warroad in 1900. It was a new, raw, and impoverished country. Few had money, but he answered every call, rich or poor. In those days, Parker told me, a doctor didn't get much help from public funds on poor patients' bills. The doctor was a sort of revolving poor fund himself. He just kept going around and around. Doctors built their own hospitals, equipped their own laboratories, hired their own nurses. And in those days, a bed patient's fee in my hospital was $1 a day. Sometimes I didn't collect that. Before his death, Parker estimated that he had around $160,000 on the books. Parker's books, it appears, were never assiduously balanced. Patients who dunned themselves were told they'd get a bill sometime, but they never did. I'll read more about Dr. Parker later. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.